ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This is my opinion. You could agree with it or disagree with it. This is my opinion. The reason being, and I think I touched on it last week, is that we have a constitution that is so amazing. It was written by amazing men who believed in Jesus, most of them. And it has stood, what, for 230 plus years. It's the longest standing constitution ever. A lot of them, you know, a constitution turns over like a new year in countries. You've got to write a new one. This one has stood, it's the time. And what's interesting in this constitution is that we are a sovereign nation. That is a problem for the globalists. Maybe you read the article from the Pope who said, we cannot be sovereign nations anymore. We have to be globalists, part of a global community. That's the religious leader. That's the one the Protestant Church is joining with. One world leader, one world religion, one world government. And it's one world religion that brings the Antichrist to power. Amazing. So we have to destroy or come to a point where there's such chaos, such a mess, that we have to rewrite our constitution so we can be part of the global community. And we're one of the nations that is causing trouble now because of a guy named Trump, who's president of the United States. He's not a globalist. He's for our nation. What did he say? Make America great again? He's not a globalist. He doesn't care about the global world. He cares about Americans. And they hate him for it. Republican, Democrat, it really doesn't matter. They're globalists. So you take down the government. What's next? The family. You destroy the family. We don't know what a family is. Man and a woman, man and a man, woman and a woman. What's a family? We don't know. Children tend to run the families nowadays. They tell the parents what to do. We lost sight of what the biblical role model of a family is about. The husband is the head of the family, the wife is there, and the child. And it's not that the husband is smarter or better, that's just the way God has done it. Well, that's not fair. Well, look at Jesus. Is he Almighty God? Yeah. Equal with the Father? Yeah. What did he do? He surrendered his authority to the Father. If Jesus could do it, well, okay. But we've lost that biblical role of a family where the man is the head of the house. And I'm not saying he's some dictator, because that's what people think. Oh, it's a dictator, just tell the wife what to do. Not at all. He loves the wife, cares for her, takes care of her needs. He protects her, watches over her, and instills in the kids the things of God. So we've destroyed the family. We've destroyed the government. We destroyed the family. What's the last thing we got to destroy? The church. And how do we do it? Get them away from the Bible. You see, it's really as simple as that. You get them away from the Word of God because they don't know what's right or wrong anymore. You know, a few years back, there was a church that, you know, had invited everyone to come together to talk about should homosexuals be allowed in the church in ministry. Well, the meeting's like about 5 seconds long. No, not because I said so, not because I hate anyone. I don't. But because the Bible says so. It's as simple as that. You see, we live in a society today where anything and everything goes. But where do you draw the line? You see, to me, that's the bigger question. Where do you draw the line? If homosexuality, lesbianism, okay, what about bestiality? Oh, that's horrible. Wow, you're pretty judgmental. You're pretty intolerant. What about pedophiles? Oh, come on. Now you're being ridiculous. Well, wait a minute. Who are you to tell me that that's wrong? You don't have a standard anymore. I do. And it's called the Word of God. I might not like everything that's in the Bible. We've been through Genesis through Revelation once already. We're almost done going through it a second time. We're almost done, a few more years in the New Testament. But we'll get through. And do I like everything it says in there? No, I don't. I'll be honest with you. When it says forgive those who have hurt you, forgive them like Christ has forgiven you, I don't always like that. But Lord, there's the problem. But, no, just Lord. Okay. But I say, but Lord, I try to justify why I can't forgive a person. See, I don't always like what it says. But here's the thing I do know. 100% assurity that whatever God has in His Word is for my best interest. As a parent, when you're raising your children, do your children go, oh, thank you, Mom and Dad. You guys are so wonderful in telling me what to do and what not to do. You are so wonderful. Thank you that I have to have a curfew at 10 o'clock and I can't drink and can't do this. You are just the nicest parents in the world. How many of you had your kids say that? I didn't say that when I was a kid. Why? Because they want to do those things and you're trying to protect them. And when they're a kid, do they understand that you're trying to protect them? Most of the time they don't. But here's the amazing thing. You know, my kids went through a lot growing up. And they got into a lot of stuff. And they came back to the Lord. But the one thing that they said was they realized what we did for them was for their best. We weren't trying to hurt them. Sometimes you have to grow up. You get older, you get mature, you look back, you have kids of your own, and you realize, you know what, my parents weren't that bad. They were trying to protect me from the harm that was out there. Isn't that what our Heavenly Father does for us? Absolutely. But again, we have moved away from the Word of God. Jesus warned us, and I shared this with you already, but Jesus warned us, take heed that no one deceives you. Pay attention. When we get in car accidents, many times the reason we get in car accidents is because we are not paying attention. Right? Oh, that's not true. Sure it is. Have you ever seen people on the phone? I don't know how they text. I mean, I have a hard time texting when I'm not driving, okay? But they're texting and driving. And they're not paying attention. And I'll tell you in a split second, man, Jesus is warning us. Take heed. Why? That no one deceives you. You mean there's deception out there? Yeah, and you know where this is found? In a section dealing with the last days. In Matthew 24:4. Take heed that no one deceives you. That means false teachers and false doctrine is going to grow and grow in the last days to move you away from the truth. And how do you know you're being deceived? You don't. That's why you're deceived, right? But before you get to that point where you're deceived, the truth can keep you from going down that path. And that's what I'm so thankful for. Because let me say it like this. We don't believe based on popular opinion. We don't believe based on majority. We believe, very simply, what the Word of God says. That's the bottom line. Can you imagine if we just were picking and choosing what we want from the Bible? And people do that. And you know what they pick? What do you think, as they just edit the Bible for themselves, what do you think they pick out of there that they like? Love. Love, love, love. All we need is love, right? And that's what they pick. And it's true. Jesus, God, He loves us more than we'll ever know. There's no doubt. What do you think they leave out? Judgment. We don't like that part. So we're editing judgment out and we're just keeping love. Take heed that no one deceives you. You don't have the option of doing that. If God is holy, just, fair, if He's a righteous judge, doesn't He have to judge sin? Think about that. Yes, He does. Well, then we're all doomed. Yeah, apart from Christ, we are. But He judged sin on the cross at Calvary as Jesus hung on the cross to die for my sins. So that means He is still a holy, righteous God. But if he said, hey, you know what? You could sin, do whatever you want. I don't care. Then he's not a holy and righteous God anymore. He's not a just God. He's unjust. But our God was willing to pay in full the penalty for our sins so that we could spend eternity with him. The truth is the hardest pill to swallow, especially when it comes from the medicine bottle of God's word, the Bible. How many of you found that to be true? I mean, come on, we all have, right? You're reading it and all of us, you know, it's like, I really don't like that, like I said. I really don't. But you cannot take white out and edit your Bible. We, again, don't have that option. Because now we're saying we know better than God. What's your IQ? What'd you get on your SAT scores? God did just a little bit better. He knows every hair that's on our head. You don't even know how many hairs you lost today. He not only created all the stars, the billions upon billions upon billions of stars, stars we can't even see yet that are out there, but they're so far away, we can't see them. And he says, I know them by name. I've named every single star. Sometimes I mess up on the names of my kids. I only have two. I mean, come on. Especially my grandkids. I guess I should say my grandkids because I call my grandkids by my son's names. Go, Joe and Tony. Oh, no, that's not right. God knows the names of every star. He's named them. You see, the truth can keep us from going down the path of deception. And isn't that simplistic? Why does it have to be complicated? We think the more complicated it is, the better. You know, I love people. You know, there's nothing wrong with digging into the scriptures and finding all these codes and different things that are in there. That's great. But are you living what the Bible says? That's very plain and clear. That's more important. It's not how much knowledge you have. It's are you living what God says or how God says we are to live? For me, is again, I've seen basic Christianity gone from many Christians' lives. Just the basics, the ABCs of Christianity. And I don't get it. That's, I guess, one thing I learned over the past year is Christians can be easily deceived by the words that are said and how they're being said. You just got to sound like you know what you're talking about. I don't know if anyone has ever seen the show The Carbonaro Effect. He's a magician. And he will make people believe things that are totally impossible. Totally impossible. It can't happen. He put these little propellers on this little board. And he had special batteries on these propellers that really boost the power. And he said, he gave this lady this little controller and he sat on this and he goes, okay, now make it go up. And all of a sudden, this board, these propellers are lifting him up. I'm like, wow, I can't believe that. And they do believe it. It's impossible. He's a magician. That's how deceivers are. They sound really good. I know this. I know that. Look at, this is what it says. Guys, look at the totality of the scriptures. It's so important. You know, Peter warned us. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemy. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, but their destruction does not slumber. Again, be careful. There are deceivers out there, and they may seem like they speak for God, and yet what they say is contrary to the Word of God. We shouldn't be following them. And again, I'm amazed. Sometimes it is so clear. Again, this last year I've seen it. I've heard what people have said. And I'm like, that completely goes against the Scriptures. One person said that Paul was wrong because the writings that he said went contrary to what he believed. I'm thinking, Paul was wrong? Then you're saying God was wrong. Because it says all of Scripture, doesn't say except for Paul's writings, were given by inspiration of God, and they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, we believe that God's word is God's word, and it is profitable for us. It tells us what's right. It tells us what's wrong. It tells us how to get right when we've gone astray, and it helps us to stay on track, and it equips us to serve. How important that is. Don't follow them, these false teachers, the false teaching. And as Christians, man, we should see these things. In fact, Paul in Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. And hopefully that's what I've done this morning, is, you know, expose some of this stuff. But what I see is the church in general, not the body of Christ, but the church, moving into this black hole, this event horizon. And it's like, man, they're getting to that point where they're not going to be able to get out. Now, within these churches, people are leaving because they see the falseness, they see the danger that's there. But many are just being sucked in. And this one world religion, God's word is pretty clear on this. It's coming, whether we like it or not. And it's the false prophet that will unite or bring up the Antichrist, draw them together. Let me share this with you. This is about one world religion, one world government. And we were told this. Robert Mueller, former assistant secretary at the UN, understood that the ultimate goal of internationalists around the globe is a totally implemented world governing system, an organization designed to supersede any national government and demand that all nations surrender their sovereignty and submit to international laws and regulations. Mr. Mueller also knew that for this dream to become a reality, all religions must somehow ignore their differences, unify and pledge their allegiances to the establishment of the global community. When this happens, and according to Bible prophecy, it will in the very near future, those who choose not to conform will be considered heretics and possibly even pay for it with their lives. Isn't it interesting? A global government needs a global religion because you need to control the people. Hitler paid the pastors, the German government paid the pastor's salary. He had them, and he had the people. We need to be careful. We need to be wise. We need to take heed so that we don't fall. It's going to get tougher and tougher, guys. And this is the reason. Because as the false church grows, they will be saying, you're hateful, you're unloving, you're unforgiving. And that's not true. Jesus loves sinners. He didn't say, well, I only love certain kinds of sinners. He loved all of us. He went to the cross of Calvary to pay in full the penalty for our sins, as I've said. That is the wonderful God we have. But now we are being told, hey, you know, you're a little dogmatic about that. You need to loosen up a little. You know, yeah, Jesus is good. He's a good teacher. But, you know, Buddha's good, and this is good over here, and that's good over there. And, you know, we're all going to the same place. Well, you may be going somewhere, but I'm not going with you. I'm going with Jesus. Because, again, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so in these days, we got to take heed that we don't fall, that we don't stumble, that we're not drawn into this. And again, you don't have to believe anything that I said here this morning. But I challenge you, search the scriptures yourself. That's the key. The Bible has plenty of warnings in it. And what the church has done is they don't believe the warnings anymore. They think just because something is happening and something is growing or something is big, that it's got to be from God. And it sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That means if we're going to use that theology, Muslims must be doing something right. No. God always has his faithful remnant. And there are many in our community that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. But we have to be careful. Because, again, as churches start moving away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, where are we going to be in a year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, if the Lord tarries? How far away from God are we going to be? Are we going to be having meetings to decide, well, what do you think about this? Should we allow this in the church? Use your time in a better way. Don't try and decide what God desires you to do. Just teach the word and he'll tell you. It's pretty simple. I'm not a very, I guess, deep person. I believe what he says. And so should you. Because he will never steer you wrong. I've been a Christian for over 35 years. Has it been easy? No. It's been tough at times. But I'll tell you what, he's never forsaken me. He's always given me the strength to endure the times that I go through. And the last few years have been tough. My heart goes out to my wife and all that she's been through the last few years. It breaks my heart. I just give it to me, Lord. Take it away from her. It's just not how it works. But I'll tell you what, our faith stands strong. That was one of the things one of my kids said to us after he came back to the Lord. He said, you know, Dad, all that we did to you and Mom, said the one thing I'm amazed is that your faith stood strong. It was a witness. And I can't take credit for that. It's not because I'm so strong. It's because he is. He's enabled me to do the things that I've done. He's enabled me to get through the difficult times that I've been through. And he'll do the same in your lives. Because if you think that everybody wins, come see me after service this morning. I'll let you in on a little secret, though, right now. Everybody doesn't win. I shared on Thursday about the kicker from the Bears who could advance the Bears to the next level, going to the Super Bowl, making it to the next playoff. And he kicked. It hit the bar, and then it hit the bar below, and it didn't go through, and they lost. There's a lot of upset people. What I found interesting, and here's a Christian, is that even in missing that field goal, he praised God. And this was his rationale. Do I just praise God for when it goes through? Or do I praise God for the good times and the bad times? Oh, wow, what a witness. And then they're all praying. Philadelphia Eagle players, Chicago Bear players who are Christians are all praying together, and he's right there with them praying. And then an article's written about him and how he's telling his kids, because, you know, there's a lot of upset Chicago Bear fans, not very nice about what they're saying about him. But here's the thing. He's telling his kids how to win and how to lose and how to deal with conflict. And it's something we need to do today. We're going to go through tough times. How are we going to handle it? We bring it to God. We draw from his word and we encourage each other. That's what it's about. Well, we only have another 15 pages to go. We are not going to finish up today. The Lord took me in a different direction, and we will finish up next time, part three of our study. Lord willing, we'll finish up next time, I guess I'll put it that way, about signs are everywhere, and we'll deal with that. Because I don't want to rush through it. I think it's important we see these things. So we've got one more week with this, and then we'll move back into Joshua. But I hope I've encouraged you to pay attention, to take God for what he has said in his word, to take heed that you do not fall, because it is that important. God has admonished us to do these things. Are we willing to listen to him, though? Because these are very interesting days we're living in, aren't they? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And my heart grieves when I see churches that are embracing false teaching, that are embracing false teachers, that are embracing false religions. And Lord, help us to reach out to these people and share the truth with them in love. Not condemning them, not putting them down, but just sharing the truth, the word of God, and what it has to say. And Lord, help us not to be deceived. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading. I'm so blessed when I hear people who were reading a book and all of a sudden your Spirit just spoke to them and said, this is wrong, put it down, and they do. Thank you, Lord, for being that concerned for us. Because, Lord, we don't want to be deceived. We want to follow you all the days of our lives. And, Lord, just any here who are struggling this morning, Lord, just comfort their hearts. Any who are searching, wanting to know you, Lord, that they would surrender their life to you. They would ask you to be Lord and Savior of their lives. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And, Lord, help us to take heed so that we don't fall. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.